Welcome to springtime worship at Advent. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things, both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
When the words and actions we are given to speak and do are inspired and undergirded by God and his wisdom, then we need not fear whatever consequences. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 71. It can be found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. "In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold. Deliver me, my God, from the land of the wicked, from the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb you have been my strength. My praise shall be always of you. My mouth shall recount your mighty acts and saving deeds all day long. Though I cannot know the number of them, I will begin with the mighty works of the Lord God. I will recall your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me since I was young, and to this day I tell you of your wonderful works. Urges the people at Corinth to be concerned with how to build up one another in God's kingdom, rather than how to seem impressive in front of one another. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand you say, Amen, to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the Lord according to Luke. I read from Luke chapter 4. Just a fascinating story that I will speak on in just a minute. But Jesus had been highly successful in doing works of wonders in Capernaum. His teachings were amazing. Now he comes to a different community, a community where he's not honored, and the people are outraged when he says you can't do miracles there. Listen, fascinating. Luke 4, starting at 21. And he began to say to them, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words that were falling from his lips. And they were saying, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which the city had been built in order to throw him off the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went on his way. And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching there on the Sabbath. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority." The Gospel of the Lord. Glad to be with you today. This morning I want to speak to you out of one verse from the gospel, and it's Luke 4:27. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. He was an exception. He was an exceptional man, and that's what I want to speak with you about. I want to read to you some of the incident from 2 Kings chapter 5. And if you're not all consumed with the Super Bowl this afternoon, you might want to read it. It's quite fascinating. Now, Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now, the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife, so she became a slave. She said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with a prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." Then skipping down several verses. "So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha, and Elisha sent a message to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean.' But Naaman was furious, and he went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' And so he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near him and spoke to him and said, 'My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Just a fascinating story at different levels. Naaman was a highly respected man in what today is Syria. He was a successful military leader who had the ear of his king. The one issue in his life was that he was a cast out because he was also a leper. And we heard that there were many lepers in that era in Israel and outside of Israel. And leprosy was a horrible disease. It caused disfigurement of skin and bones, of curled fingers, and the flesh almost slowly eaten away. One of the things that happened, nerve endings were destroyed so that after time, people who were in the advanced stages of leprosy could not feel pain. And in some parts of the country, then as well as now, leprosy patients would fall asleep. Now, the next phrase is going to be PG, so be careful. Rats would come and eat their fingers. They had no feeling, so there was no understanding of what had happened. So just a powerful, destructive disease, but it never killed you. Now, the biblical instructions for leprosy were separation and isolation. A leper was considered unclean. When he would come into an area, he would have to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that people would know. And that reminds me, unrelated to leprosy, when Tammy and I were in college in her dorm, in that day, there were male and female dorms. You didn't share the same space. And whenever a custodian would come to a floor, he would have to yell out, "Man on the floor!" And Tammy said the funny thing was, girls didn't run into their room. They came to the doorway to see who it was. It might be a boyfriend, but it was just the custodian. But anyway, so a leper has to call out, and he had to wear black with a hood that covered his face, and he had to live outside of the city walls. If you lived in Jerusalem, for example, you couldn't go to the holy place, the temple. You had to live outside of the walls. And we read, when Jesus healed a leper, he always pronounced the person not healed, but cleansed, so that he could be restored to the community. It was a powerful thing. There's a verse in Isaiah 1:18 that speaks about leprosy as sin. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." And the warning is, in the beginning, that's how leprosy is. It irritates and reddens the skin, but ultimately the skin dies if you don't deal with it. And that's how sin is in our life, that at first it might just be an irritation, but it's deadly. And so we deal with it redemptively in the Lord. Now, Naaman's worldview was about to be transformed. He went, and this is so hard sometimes to get into your life, he went outside of his culture and found restoration with the God of Israel. We live in our culture, but our strength comes from outside of that culture, from the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things that concerns me, being someone who reads a lot and follows news, we hear of many mainline liberal denominations that say, "Bring the culture into us. We want to be like the world so no one is rejected." But the message of the kingdom is, no, we are not the culture. We have a message that would transform individuals in the culture. And that's what Naaman found. He came out of what was familiar to him, came to seek healing from the man of God, from the Israelites, stepped away from what he knew, what was comfortable, and he found what he was looking for in restoration. So to me, that's such an important thing. Who do you listen to? Who gives you insight and input into your condition? Last Sunday, I was speaking at a church along with my brother, church I had spoken at for perhaps 25 years. I could drive there almost blindfolded. But I thought it would be interesting to see if I really was going the best way. So I asked Siri to take me to the church. She took me, I typed in the church, she took me to a church that was a UCC church in another city a good half hour away. I was late. I typed in the right information, but I got the wrong output. And so it's important for us, what do we listen to? What shapes your worldview? How you see reality is? Naaman saw the world through the lens of his culture in Syria. And when he stepped out of that, he never found healing there, but he found healing with the God of the Israelites through the prophet Elisha. It's a powerful thing. And I want to go back to that church where we were at. Sometimes God does things that aren't the way that you expect things to happen. It's a church that is just on the beginning of transformation, a new vision, and they had wanted to buy a significant piece of property behind the church that belonged to a man whose home was on the edge of that property. But he was an atheist, and he said, "I'll never sell to the church." Well, he recently died, and his family came to the church and said, "Would you guys be interested in buying this property and the home?" And the offer that the family made for the estate was 2/3 of what the church had offered just for the property. And so, of course, they said, "Yes, it's a God thing." So the church sold the home, owns the property, is getting ready to build a new worship and fellowship center. They sold the house, and they ended up getting the land that they wanted for 1/3 of what they offered to the neighbor who was an atheist. Sometimes beyond rational things happen because of God's intervention in our lives. And that's a part of what was happening to Naaman. He had riches. He would do anything to be healed. What he didn't want to do was to humble himself and dip in a dirty river. I've been to the Jordan, seen many people baptized into it. It's not a place that you want to go and visit other than that it's in the Bible. There are beautiful mountain rivers in Syria. He mentions two of them. Why can't I use those? Because the cleansing that the prophet called for was in the Jordan. And by God's grace, he yielded after intervention from his servants. But in some ways, our church, a church, the church of this generation, is like the murky waters of the Jordan. People will come and see, "Well, you're just like other people. You've got sin. You're hypocrites. Why are you so special?" And so people will look at other streams rather than God's river, which is the church that was established by the Lord. People will look at politics. Ultimately, it's not the answer. It provides focus, but it doesn't ultimately deal with the questions that we have about life. Some people look at self-esteem. They go and get equipped in understanding what a great and invaluable person they are. But the Bible talks about taking up the cross in the spirit of adoption. Self-esteem can only take you so far. Some go toward personal ambition and success, but never are satisfied. This week I've been reading as a part of my morning devotions in the book of Job, who was highly successful, a man of God who never renounced God, but he lost basically everything. So sometimes success can't get you where you want to go. Others will look into the stream of social justice as a way to find meaning and be helpful to others. But without the gospel, there's no lasting change. The person is hungry and needy the next day as well. And so a part of what I want to simply say is we need to, like Naaman, we need to live in God's word, which is our river. Sometimes we can be disappointed with what we see from fellow believers, but this is the place that God chose to reveal himself and to bring healing and strength and outreach to others. And here's a major irony in the story, and this is really where I want to settle in with you. One minor player in the story, who was a relatively powerless person, was the trigger for everything that happened to Naaman. Naaman was helpless. He went to his king. The king sent a letter to the king of Israel. Elisha overheard it. But what happened, why Naaman went that route to ask for help, was because a servant girl whom the people of his era, their raiding party, had captured in Israel and brought back, and she became Naaman's wife's slave or servant. She had a big faith. She believed in a big God. She was virtually powerless. She served in this home at the will of her mistress. But she knew what God could do. She had heard stories. She'd seen things as a little girl. She believed in a big God. She spoke out of her conviction to her mistress, if only Naaman, your husband, could go see the prophet in Israel, he would be healed. She was a light for the Lord. Her time in the spotlight was just momentary, but she transformed that area so that when Jesus talks about Naaman in the gospel reading, in his generation, he was the one person in Israel who was a leper who was healed. He was an exception because he was exceptional. He was able to walk outside of his culture and begin to see things in just a little different way. And that little different way transformed him in ways that went into all eternity. So that's where I want to end up. The Israelite girl who was a slave was an exception because of a challenging life, and she made an exceptional impact on Naaman that transformed his life. Naaman was an exception because he went beyond the teaching of his culture. He was able to see the values of his culture did not bring him the meaning and significance and cleansing that he was hoping for. You can be that exception with an exceptional witness into the lives of others, not by standing on an orange crate on the corner of Center Ridge and Dover, but by speaking simply what you know, by living simply what you know to be true. In many ways, we are countercultural. And by being countercultural, we seek to bring the culture of the kingdom of God into the kingdom of earth. It's what transformed Naaman. There are people in your life, there are people in your community that are dying like Naaman was, who desperately need cleansing. And you can be that exception, that exceptional person in their life. I encourage you to pray about it, to be open to that simple witness that the Israelite slave girl made that transformed a family, that transformed the future of Naaman and his family to the extent that Jesus talked about him. It's incredible. We can make a difference in a culture that seems bound to go in a direction that is quite contrary to the will of God and to the kingdom of heaven. Let's continue our service by standing and sharing together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life for the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Prayers of people are found on page 6 in your bulletin. Form 3 is what we'll be using. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you, that your name may be glorified by all people. We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons, especially Archbishop Welby, our presiding bishops Curry, and our own Bishop Hollingsworth and Love. We also pray for Pastor Paul, that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world, that there may be justice and peace on the earth. Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake, that our works may find favor in your sight. Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble. We pray for the health and recovery of those on our prayer list. Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, George, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Michael, Bill and Judy, Joan, Velta, Rose, Arthur, Tony, Eliza, Sylvia, Kayleen, and Jack. That they may be
delivered from their distress.
Justice. We give to the departed eternal rest.
Let their light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy. May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom. Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Yep, sure, sure.
And did Max tell you about Art Field?
No.
He stopped by to visit him, with people, Art, stopped by the house.
Okay.
Said to mention it.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thankfully, the outside weather warmed up because...
I think our boilers were plotting against me when I announced at the annual meeting they were running. It's been a little cool. The one large boiler circulating pump quit. We'll have it repaired. I had Bill Sigmund over here Friday, and we've got parts coming in tomorrow. The other announcement, Max Gage stopped by and saw Art Beal. And Art is kind of lonely at home. He is at home and looking for visitors. So if you want to stop by and pay Art a visit, he would greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Now I have my red brown hair on, and I'm now Teddy Augustine, and I'm now inviting you to come to the Women's Night Out tomorrow night, right? So Teddy, I'm disappointed. I asked you before church started if I could come, and you didn't even give me an answer. If you want to come, ladies, see Teddy so she knows a head count. Pete.
Good morning. A couple of interesting facts. In the cheery news that Ray gave us, we all heard the news yesterday, that the groundhog says early spring. But did you know that the groundhog is correct in his predictions less than 50% of the time? Less than 40% of the time.
Thanks, Pete.
So, having frozen ourselves Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if you looked at the weather predictions in Alaska, you will find it was warmer in Alaska than it was here. So when you see the weather predictions for this week, don't complain to the groundhog when we're in the 20s next weekend. Having said that, gentlemen of Advent, we gather on hopefully a warm night on the 11th at 6:30 at BJ's Restaurant and Brew House, which is in Great Northern Shopping Center, for good conversation and good communion, good food. And at the end of this month, on the 23rd of February, which is a Saturday night at 6 o'clock, we will be sponsoring a spaghetti dinner. The cost is free. So bring your relatives, bring your neighbors, bring your friends, bring the entire community down. We will be serving.
Finally, I want to remind you this morning that after the 10 o'clock service, we will be commencing the new Bible series, Bible study series, The Church in Babylon. I know Paul knows about the Bible study, so I was incredibly touched by how relevant his sermon was this morning to this Bible study. Basically, the gist of the Bible study is, what can we learn from how the Israelites in Babylon survived and thrived in Babylon? What can we learn from them about how we as Christians can survive and thrive in our pagan culture here? So Paul's message touched right spot on to the theme of the church in Babylon. I invite you to come. We'll be together for an hour. I've got handouts. You don't have to do any prior study. Come and learn a little bit from Urban Lutzer and the Holy Spirit and one another about how we can be Christ's ambassadors in this culture that we find ourselves today in America. Thank you.
So going back for a moment to what Peter said about the prognostical abilities of groundhogs, can we infer from this that most meteorologists are groundhogs? If you didn't laugh, think about it. You might get it later. So today is Cake and Coffee Day, otherwise known as celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. I focus on the cake. So let's start with birthdays. Any birthdays this month who are present? Well, I'll have a slice on their behalf. Just trying to be helpful. How about anniversaries this month? So I guess February, yes, ma'am. And what are their first names?
Jim and Candy.
Jean?
Jim
and Candy.
And I have to tell you a little story about it. Candy was divorced, and she had two children. And she was going to struggle with her ex over the custody of the children. And she didn't want him to know she was getting married, because, you know, he would take it as an opportunity to not pay his share of the child support. So they came to
There's a scripture, what you whisper in secret will be shouted from the housetops. So let's pray for them. Father, we ask your blessing on Jim and Candy, that you would protect their marriage, guard them from outside adversity and bring them closer to you as they come close to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings now to the Lord. We continue with the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Thank you. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
I invite you to come and receive what the Lord has provided. Thank you.
as the living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the Lord in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you, gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Something was there.